Senator Harris, you have also been quite critical of Vice President Biden's policies on race, specifically on the issue of busing in the 1970s, having benefited from busing when you were a young child. Vice President Biden says that your current position on busing, you're opposed to federally mandated busing, that that position is the same as his position. Is he right?
That is simply false. And let's be very clear about this. When Vice President Biden was in the United States Senate working with segregationists to oppose busing, which was the vehicle by which we would integrate America's public schools, had I been in the United States Senate at that time, I would have been completely on the other side of the aisle. And let's be clear about this. Had those segregationists their way, I would not be a member of the United States Senate, Cory Booker would not be a member of the United States Senate, and Barack Obama would not have been in a position to nominate him to the title he now holds. And so, on that issue, we could not be more apart, which is that the vice president has still failed to acknowledge that it was wrong to take the position that he took at that time. Now, I would like to also talk about this conversation about Eric Garner, because I, too, met with his mother. And one of the things that we've got to be clear about is that this president of the United States, Donald Trump, while he has been in office, has quietly been allowing the United States Department of Justice to shut down consent decrees, to stop pattern and practice investigations. On that case, we also know that the Civil Rights Division, this is important, the Civil Rights Division of the United States Department of Justice said charges should have been filed, but this United States Department of Justice usurped, and I believe it is because that president did not want those charges to go forward, and they overrode a decision by the Civil Rights Division of the United States Department of Justice. Under my administration, the Civil Rights Division will reign, and there will be independent investigations.
Vice President Biden, I want to give you a chance to respond to what Senator Harris just said.
When Senator Harris was the Attorney General for 8 years, in the state of California, there were two of the most segregated school districts in the country, in Los Angeles and in San Francisco. And she did not, I didn't see a single solitary time she brought a case against them to desegregate them. Secondly, she also is in a situation where she had a police department when she was there that, in fact, was abusing people's rights. And the fact was that she, in fact, was told by her own people, that her own staff, that she should do something about and disclose to defense attorneys like me that you, in fact, have been, the police officer did something that did not give you information that would exculpate your client. She didn't do that. She never did it. And so what happened? Along came a federal judge and said, enough, enough, and he freed 1,000 of these people. If you doubt me, Google 1,000 prisoners freed Kamala Harris.
Thank you, Vice President Biden. And Senator Harris, your response?
This is simply not true. And as Attorney General of California, where I ran the second largest Department of Justice in the United States, second only to the United States Department of Justice, I am proud of the work we did, work that has received national recognition for what has been the important work of reforming a criminal justice system and cleaning up the consequences of the bills that you passed when you were in the United States Senate for decades. It was the work of creating the one of the first in the nation initiatives around reentering former offenders and getting them jobs and counseling.
Thank you, Senator.
I did the work as Attorney General of putting body cameras on special agents
in
the state of California,
I'm
proud of that work.
I want to bring in Congresswoman Gabbard. Congresswoman Gabbard, you took issue with Senator Harris confronting Vice President Biden at the last debate. You called it a, quote, false accusation that Joe Biden is a racist. What's your response?
I want to bring the conversation back to the broken criminal justice system that is disproportionately negatively impacting black and brown people all across this country today. Now, Senator Harris says she's proud of her record as a prosecutor and that she'll be a prosecutor president, but I'm deeply concerned about this record. There are too many examples to cite, but she put over 1,500 people in jail for marijuana violations and then laughed about it when she was asked if she ever smoked marijuana. She blocked evidence that would have freed an innocent man from death row until the courts forced her to do so. She kept people in prison beyond their sentences to use them as cheap labor for the state of California. And she fought to keep cash bail system in place that impacts poor people in the worst kind of way.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Senator Harris, your response.
As the elected Attorney General of California, I did the work of significantly reforming the criminal justice system of a state of 40 million people, which became a national model for the work that needs to be done. And I am proud of that work. And I am proud of making a decision to not just give fancy speeches or be in a legislative body and give speeches on the floor, but actually doing the work of being in the position to use the power that I had to reform a system that is badly in need of reform. That is why we created initiatives that were about reentering former offenders and getting them counseling. It is why, and because I know that criminal justice system is so broken, that I am an advocate for what we need to do to not only decriminalize, but legalize marijuana in the United States.
I want to bring Congresswoman Gabbard back in. Your response,
ma'am. The bottom line is, Senator Harris, when you were in a position to make a difference and an impact in these people's lives, you did not. And worse yet, in the case of those who were on death row, innocent people, you actually blocked evidence from being revealed that would have freed them until you were forced to do so. There is no excuse for that. And the people who suffered under your reign as prosecutor, you owe them an apology.
So if you think that even now there is sincere unity among Democrats with the 2020 election, well, that flashback to the fourth Democratic debate might just make you sit down in the corner for a little bit by yourself and rethink that position. The surprise of practically no one, Joe Biden selected Kamala Harris to be his vice presidential nominee this past week. And this VP pick breaks new ground versus the history of this element of a presidential campaign, because historically, a VP pick is considered in part for their ability to deliver a state which might be in question. And a VP pick from the state would be the tipping point. That's not really the case here, since there was no way that Biden or any other Democratic presidential candidate could ever lose California. That's where Harris is from. Another difference from history and tradition is the timeline. Normally a VP is looked at as the future of the party 8 years from now. Not the case here. Majority of Democrats, actually in polls, believe that Joe Biden will be a one-term wonder if he wins. So if that happens, it would be Harris then as a presumed frontrunner for the 2024 Democratic presidential nomination, again if the Biden-Harris ticket wins in November. In all honesty, there are some who apparently have close ties with the Grim Reaper who don't think Biden will get through one term. So if he wins and that comes to pass, no pun intended, and Harris would take over and then run in 2024 as the incumbent. Now, while the news media, especially those on CNN and MSNBC, were all but wearing party hats and throwing confetti in their joy for this Democratic ticket, hasn't been universal praise in liberal leftland over this. Far left in the Bernie Bros, they've struck out at Harris already, saying that she's been too supportive of police, put too many people in jail, especially for low-level nonviolent drug offenses, and even some have said that Harris isn't black enough. In case you're wondering, Kamala Harris is half Jamaican and half Indian. And just a fair warning, please make sure you pronounce Harris's first name correctly. It's Kamala. Kamala. Say it with me. Kamala. Because I'm just trying to give you a fair shake here, because if you fail to do that, you might get labeled as a sexist or, well, maybe even a racist. Be that as it may, the knee-jerk reaction to the Biden-Harris tickets is that almost all the black voters will vote for it. It kind of fits Biden's view of the voting demo, doesn't it? Didn't Biden say recently that if you're not with him, then you ain't black, quote-unquote? Well, is that based on fact? Can the Trump campaign still make inroads into the black voters and gain enough of that support to move the election their way? And I know what the polls are saying. Today, Trump's trailing Biden by, depending on the poll you look at, between 6 and 10 points. Got some political history for you. This was the same spot George H.W. Bush was in at that point in his campaign against Michael Dukakis. And this is deja vu all over again for Trump, because this was the same spot he was in this time of the campaign, 2016, against Hillary. But when you look at some of the actual executive orders that will have impact, a lot of the other ones are like nice thoughts, but putting into practice will be challenging at best. The executive orders preventing some evictions, postponing student loan payments. Before the job market blew up, thanks to COVID-19, remember how the black community had record low unemployment rates? Who's to say again that history can't repeat itself?